Creativity is experimenting, growing, taking risks, breaking rules, making mistakes, and having fun. Mary Lou Cook. On today's episode of Bring Up Creativity, we are joined with Sonia. Sonia is the CEO and founder of the Wildly Creating Agency. She found her love for web design and brand strategy while traveling the world. She believes that we all deserve to find our identity and uniqueness and to share them with the world. Finding who we really are and the journey associated with it is probably the greatest project of your life. Because guess what? You are the most important part of your life, and reconnecting with your identity plays a huge role when creating a brand and building a website. Hello, Sonia. How are you?
Hi, Danielle. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me today. You have no idea how excited I am to have another brand strategist and expert and designer on today. So really excited to have this conversation with you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I always love to start off each episode with a fun little quirky question. With that being said, what's your go-to coffee or tea order?
So I was expecting this and I don't like coffee. I don't like caffeine at all. It just doesn't work for me. So if I really have to order coffee or tea, it would mostly be like a chai latte or matcha, something like that. I really cannot stand caffeine. My body just hates that.
No, but you know what? It's great that you can acknowledge what works for you and what doesn't. And honestly, about a month ago, I got into the chai tea latte fix, and it's so good that I can't recommend it enough now. I'm addicted to it.
It's actually so, so good. And, you know, I tried so many times to actually enjoy coffee. You know, everybody's sharing about their coffee, like, look at my coffee order. And I tried so many times, just don't like it.
It has like a stronger taste, and I feel like it's a personal preference at the end of the day. It's either like the people who try it end up getting addicted to it because there's such a great caffeine rush that comes with it when you're tired. And then also it can be a little stronger, while as like a chai tea latte or matcha tea latte doesn't feel as dehydrating. And it's just a great accent to like a meal or even on its own.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the thing. I don't feel like I want the rush, and the rush is making me anxious, while for me, like drinking a tea or whatever in the morning is just like to chill in and, you know, just drink something that you like for the taste rather than for the reaction that you get out of it.
Definitely, 100%. And I can testify that I absolutely love how much more hydrated I feel when I'm drinking tea. So I can completely agree with you on that one. I have like so many questions to ask you because obviously we're in the same field. So it's really exciting for me to have somebody like you on. But before we get into the ooey gooey juicy stuff, I wanted to actually ask you about how you got into doing branding. Particularly, I actually want to rewind a bit. So I'd love to hear about like possibly like who you were even before you started your own branding business, or who you were maybe as a teenager. I don't know how long you've been running your business for, but I know that for me, myself, I was completely different before I started my branding studio. So I definitely wanted to ask you like how you've changed and where you were before you started to work for yourself.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was completely a different person, like completely different. So first thing that I want to mention is that I never had any interest in design or creative stuff. For me, the main thing was like, I want to travel. That's the only thing that I really want to do. So all my money, all my little jobs that I had on the side were all, I always put them aside to travel the world.
Mm,
so
I love that.
Yeah, that was actually my number one priority. I studied languages in high school, so I can speak multiple languages, and that was my getaway to the whole world, like to go out there in the wild.
Wow.
So when I finished high school, I moved to Amsterdam and I stayed there for a couple of years, just working and finding my way around. And I was just doing retail and hospitality jobs, like easy things. The plan at the time was to save enough money to study psychology at the University of Amsterdam. And when the time arrived, I enrolled in psychology and I realized that I really fucking hate it. So I dropped out of university after maybe 3 months and I kept on working and saving money, and then decided to travel the world and to go to Southeast Asia and then Australia. So I arrived in Australia and I was like, oh, that's such a cool place. I'm just going to keep doing what I was doing in Amsterdam. So I found a retail job and I was saving money and everything was fine. And it was like, oh, nothing is really fulfilling. I don't like what I do. It's just the same thing every single day. And I was so young. I was 19 and I was thinking, maybe 20, actually. Yeah, it was 20. And, you know, thinking that my whole life was supposed to be working in retail and talking with customers, that they were always rude and never happy with their purchases.
Yeah.
So I started to think, how can I find a way to actually work for myself? Because I knew that that was the way. And I had traveled so much up until that point that it was like, the obvious thing for me is to do travel blogging and influencer. So I had my whole blog all set up and I would land collaboration with brands and take beautiful pictures, learning all the ins and outs of blogging,
wow,
picture editing. It was really a nice period. Like, it really enhanced my creativity.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was really fun for me and I still really love it. And especially some skills like blogging, writing and SEO, those stuff were so valuable for me. But it was so hard to see traction because, you know, you can land just so many collaboration with brands and most of them, they only pay post for products, so no actual money. And
I could see that.
Yeah. And especially like you really need to focus on having a large following, and I didn't want to be a regular influencer. And it was so hard to find my way in that sense. So I was talking with a friend and she was a virtual assistant at the time. And she mentioned, why don't you just switch from blogger to service provider? And, you know, the same thing that you do for yourself, you could do it for other people.
Yeah.
So I said, why not? And I started doing virtual assistant right away. I booked maybe 3 clients in the first 3 months and everything was going amazing. I was really, really enjoying it. Until I realized that I was enjoying it just because I actually made it and I was working for myself, but it was not because I enjoyed the task that I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again,
it's a journey.
It's a journey, right? Everything was up and down, like, oh, I made it, but that's not what I wanted. So I had 2 clients reach out to me that were like, let's build up a website because my business needed and blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, of course, I did my blogging website so I can totally do yours. And I did it. And that's when I realized,
this is it.
Oh my God, this is it. Like, I love it. So overnight, I was like, no, we have to change this. I'm not going to do virtual assistant anymore, social media manager, nothing. I'm just going to do web design. And I started with web design and it was amazing. I joined a coaching program and I really see my business grow so quick in the first 3 to 4 months. And of course, I had to implement branding just because you have to. But the more I was learning about it, the more I actually realized that that was even better than web design. Like, I felt like I only have to, you know, add branding because it's the smartest thing to do. But
yeah,
that's actually was the right thing to do for me.
I love that.
Yeah, like now for me, branding is the number one passion that I have, especially the strategy behind it, which I'm sure it's the purpose of all this meeting. But yeah, that's actually how I found it. So I started my virtual assistant business in January 2020. And then I changed everything up in May 2020. And that was actually during COVID. I was in Tasmania, which is an island south of Australia.
Yeah.
Everything was closed. No bar, no restaurant, anything. I used to work from cafe because that's the digital nomad life that I was portraying.
Oh, I love it. It's the best place.
Yeah. But then everything was closed. I was like, what am I supposed to do?
So unfortunate.
I know. And I found this co-working space. They were open. There was nobody inside. And for the next maybe 3 months, I would work crazy hours just because I could. It was like a 24/7 co-working space. And that's actually how I was able to build my business pretty quickly because I was there day and night, honestly.
Yeah. What a cool story. Like, you genuinely have such a very cool story. And it's something that I actually like have, I don't hear that often. And what I love is how transparent you are too. Like, you can fully admit that you tried a lot of things to ensure that you could have that open traveling lifestyle that you wanted. Like, you didn't want to put aside your personal goals of traveling. So you knew you needed to find something that would complement that personal lifestyle. You had personal goals and you weren't pushing that aside for work. and that you did try multiple things along the way doesn't mean they were for you. And a lot of times I actually love hearing that, because although we're living in two completely different continents, I went through a similar experience where I was trying pretty much everything. And then I landed in retail, and then I quit that because, like you said, sometimes you're just showing people clothing items, hoping they're going to love it. And then they end up complaining. And anyone who can work in retail, I commend them, but it definitely wasn't for me. And once I quit, I felt so unsatisfied. And I thought, how have I not discovered myself yet? And I wasn't even giving myself the chance to expand and learn maybe what skill I wanted to offer. All I knew is that I hated being told what to do, and I didn't like working for anybody else. So then I went and worked for myself and started a business, but I didn't land into branding right away either. I definitely wasn't a virtual assistant, but I was illustrating. And then it led me into graphic design and branding. So it's kind of like a similar way of trying to discover ourselves, but definitely in two different places. But it's nice to hear how honest you are about that, because I feel like more times than not, when we're 19, 20, we don't know who the heck we are. And there's no problem in admitting that. So it's really nice to hear that from you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a very similar story in that it's almost like for me, it was more about trying everything that I could so that I could find what was the right thing for me.
Yeah.
And that's also why I didn't like psychology, because everybody was trying to sell me this idea of psychology, but I had to experience it before actually
you could make the call.
Yeah. So that's why also all my friends and family were like, but you have to wait, like 3 months is not enough. But it's like, I just needed that to see if I liked that. And I didn't.
And your gut, you know yourself more than anybody else. And your gut can tell you and your instinct that this is not for you. I feel like even sometimes when we start new part-time gigs or part-time jobs, we know right off the bat, our gut instinct is telling us, don't do it. And then sometimes we do, and we're like, okay, it was great that we gave it a shot at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, we can only listen to ourselves.
Oh my God, yes.
Early in October, my new candle company launched, Le Bon Lumiere. Our candles are hand-poured, vegan, free of toxic chemicals, and 100% soy. Our high-quality fragrance oils are carefully thought out and selected for each candle. Our candles were created for each time of the day, morning, day, and night. This allows us to be in tune with what we're doing throughout the day, to be mindful of our senses and emotions. To those listening, enjoy 15% off all candle products with the code CREATIVITY15. Learn more and purchase a candle online at lebonlumiere.com. You can find the link down in the show notes and discount code. I wanted to hop into the branding aspect. So I know your belief system, so I'm definitely going to ask you a couple of questions regarding it. So why does brand strategy come first in any branding project?
So the very first answer that comes to mind is because you really need to know who your brand is. It's similar to how we work as human beings. Like, we need to know what are our values and foundation before we can build the life of our dreams. And the same thing applies to branding. Like, if you have no direction of where you want to go, colors, mood boards, and pretty fonts are not really going to bring you anywhere. When I started with everything, with web design and branding, for me, it was only the colors. It was just like, tell me the colors that you like. I'm going to make a color palette, pick up the right fonts, and we can make a logo if you want. And that worked fine for maybe 3 clients until I could see that they were changing and tweaking and this was not working. And oh my God, let me change it one more time. Can I have this shade a little bit lighter? And that's when I realized maybe they don't have a direction. They're just checking colors that they like, but nothing is really making sense.
Yeah.
So I started to ask some questions to them right before we got into the colors. Like, but why do you think this is the right color? And they would explain and go super in detail. And that was so fascinating. And that's also when I started learning about color psychology. So I was like, oh shit, there is a whole world behind colors that I was not aware of. And I was giving random colors to random people just because they like that.
Just because it's one of their favorite colors.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, my favorite color is deep blue. And if I think about my brand, it's nothing like deep blue. So that's also what I was trying to tell to my clients. Like, maybe we should go a little bit beyond this idea that that's your favorite color. You know, like maybe you like pizza, but you're not going to eat pizza for the rest of your life.
I love that.
So I really try to go a little bit deeper with the question that I was asking. And the more I try to dig with them, the more I would find answer. And every answer was like, oh my God, that's so interesting. And that's actually how I stumble across strategy. It's only after this process that I realized that you actually have a thing called brand strategy. And I started to implement that. And that actually changed the game, both for my clients and for my business.
I agree wholeheartedly. A lot of times I send out a brief to my clients, and the brief contains a questionnaire. And I expect them to fill out some answers. And obviously, if they leave something blanks, they don't know, it's okay. But I would love to know as much as they know. And sometimes when it comes back and I notice they don't have a mission, they don't know who they're speaking to. Psychologically, they have no idea what appeals to their target audience and their core adjectives. Like, what are some core adjectives that could describe your brand? And sometimes I get the answers and I'm like, oh, they haven't actually dug deeper a bit. So they actually need strategy before they can even book me for a logo design or website design, but they think they can just jump right into things because they might know their business name. And your business is so much more than beyond your business name, because that's not how people are going to remember you. Yeah, sure, I know what Coca-Cola is. I know the name. But when I think of Coca-Cola, I think of bright red and their like swirly patterns and their commercials on top of it, like their voice and tone. So when someone fills out a questionnaire and I don't have as many answers in regards to brand strategy, that's when I tend to redirect them and say, hey, I think actually we should hop on a one-on-one session and go over these answers, because it seems like we could actually dive a bit deeper, because otherwise it'll be revisions on revisions when we get to that brand identity part.
Oh my God, exactly. Like, this was also something that was really stressing me off. It was like, I am just doing revisions for you, and that's only because you maybe didn't want to hop on a strategy session with me. And if we did that, now you would be happy with the first revision.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to mention that, you know, like, I believe brand strategy is the foundation of every brand and business. But sometimes if you have like a very high-end brand, then you probably already have this set up, like this work already done. Because I have this conversation with other designer where it's like, I don't believe brand strategy is important. And it's like, it's not important at your stage because you did it already.
Exactly.
You know where is the direction of your business. You know what is the mission. You are a really high-end business owner, like high-performing CEO. And in that sense, then it's all fine. But if you are in the beginning stage, or even like in like, you know, a couple of years in business, probably the brand strategy that you have is still not quite there.
It could be refined.
Yeah.
Like, there's always room for improvement. I always say sometimes that people can be in the startup phase. Now, everybody's situation is different, but the startup phase could actually last 1 to 2 years because you're still discovering how to reach your audience in a better way.
Absolutely.
And it's a learning experience.
Yeah.
So I completely agree. And now if someone's been in the game for quite a few years now and they're looking to rebrand, I'm sure when I'm reading their mission statement, it is amazing, because they've just, it works for them. They know what works for them. They just know that they need to step up their visual identity component and be able to stand out against the competitors right now, because it seems like it's really competitive. It's a saturated market, right? There's probably other businesses now that have popped up since they've been in the game for multiple years that might look better than them. And this is the crazy part that I say to people. When you're in business for a few years and you're not investing in rebranding, that new person that came in and invested in brand strategy and brand identity, and they don't even have experience, is going to look better than you. Mm-hmm. And that's the crazy part as to what branding can do. They can make the person that has zero experience look impeccable. And then the person that might be in business for years on end who hasn't invested or could invest in a rebrand, they actually look like they don't have as much. And that's the crazy part to me, that branding can just speak to audiences on that level. And you would never know who has more experience and who doesn't, just based on who's investing in what.
Oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. So much on so many levels. That's the power of branding. And you know, like when I see people that they have like a successful business, but their branding and their strategy is non-existent, that really makes me question your credibility and how much you believe in your business.
Oh, completely.
And I can really see like, oh, but you don't want to invest in branding, which, you know, can be some thousands of dollars, but people are investing thousands of dollars in you. So what is more important for you? Like, is your business not important, or like the sustainability of your business? And as you said, like 2 years in business is still not enough to determine who you really are and the direction of your business. And you can always change things up a little bit, but you always need to do the brand strategy, or at least revise it.
Definitely. And brand strategy is a lot more than people think it is. Like, it's seriously determining how you want to communicate with your audience, your mission statement. It's like to tell people, like, I feel like sometimes I'm shouting like silently on Instagram, like, it's more than the logo, because it is. Like, I can't stress it enough that brand strategy comes before anything else. And I think one of the first steps is actually determining your ideal client and who you're going to be targeting your marketing towards and everything in general, because sometimes people confuse, and we briefly touched on this, that they might want to choose their favorite color, but it's probably actually not their ideal client's favorite color. Like, they don't realize that you have to get into the shoes and the mindset of their ideal client in order to actually relate to them and have the ideal client reeled in. So what do you think? If business owners don't know their ideal clients, do you think it's holding them back?
Oh, 100%. I really, really believe in the power of people in their brands. Like, you don't have a business if you are not helping the right people and your people. I think also one of the reasons why most brands, they fail, is because they're not listening to people enough. And they're just doing what they think is best, or what they think could be great in their this particular time in this market. While if you really took the time to get to know your ideal client, what they really struggle with and what they really want, like even the kind of solution that they want, the kind of support that they want, that's when you're going to be successful, because you're really giving an actual solution to people that exist and that are there for you to actually work with you.
100%. And these days, everybody's looking for like a personalized purchase or investment where they want to feel like they're the be all end all. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. It's just the way we are now. We want something personalized to us, because at the end of the day, we're thinking about our business. And when we're investing in a service, yeah, we want to think about ourselves, but we have to think about other people as well. But at the end of the day, I really, really just stress that there's just so many things that need to go into finding your ideal client, because your ideal client wants to feel that way too. They want to feel like your service is going to be tailored to them specifically.
Absolutely.
And there's so many questions that business owners need to ask themselves to determine who that ideal client is. And I've talked to clients where I say, would you be your ideal client? And then sometimes they say yes, and other times they say no. And I notice the people who aren't their ideal client have a bit more of a hard time determining who it is, because they might not even know the person, but they know that there's an issue that could solve their problem. What are some questions that you think people could ask themselves to determine who their ideal client is?
So that's such a good, very good question. I always try to...
Thank you.
I always ask them to look at their past client and to determine with whom they really had a nice experience working and with whom it was not a nice experience.
I like that.
Because sometimes, like, right now, especially, I feel like we all live in this world where our ideal clients, they all look the same. Like, I work with female creative entrepreneurs. Like, that's the usual tagline.
It's too vague.
Yeah.
It's so general. Like, what do you mean? Like, who is it?
Yeah. It's like half of Instagram is that. So I always try to go a little bit deeper, because, you know, maybe you want to work with high-end people, but who specifically is that? So, for example, I had one client that she was just giving me, again, random questions, like really general questions. Like, okay, let's go through every single client that you had. So we nailed everything down, and we realized that she didn't want to work with service provider, but she really wanted to focus on coaches only, even though she was like, no, all of them, it's fine. But all the experiences that she had with service provider were all negative or not super successful.
Wow.
So why don't we just focus on coaches then, if you really like it and you know how their brain works a little bit better? So I think it's all about studying what worked in the past and also mix it up with something that you really, really enjoy. Because it's also for me, like, the more I work with other clients, the more I can understand who I really want to work with in the future. And, you know, sometimes you need the bad experience so that you can really understand what is best for you.
I'm glad you touched on that.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to really dive a little bit deeper in past experiences and use them as a learning experience.
I completely agree with that. And it's something that actually isn't talked about, which is why I said I'm so glad you brought that up, because genuinely, we always want to avoid the bad client. Obviously, of course. But if we look back, we would never know who our ideal client was or is. Like, we could have determined it right in the beginning, but it doesn't matter because you might end up working with that person and realizing, oh, wait, this actually was hell. So I'm glad I got the experience and learned that I don't want to work with that person, but completely agreed. I mean, when I first started out, I was just taking clients on. And then after a while, I realized, okay, great. Glad I got this experience. I can put this in my portfolio. But at the end of the day, they weren't that much fun to work with. And then that's when I niched into wellness and beauty. And I actually thought I would love to work with other creatives with branding, which I do sometimes. But it also depends on the discovery call. Is the discovery call going well? There's also red flags as a branding designer when you're on the call that will tell you if that's an ideal client or not. Like if they've worked with five other branding designers or strategists.
Yes.
In that moment, automatically, I'm like, okay, great talking to you. I wish you absolutely the best, but that is such a red flag and that's not an ideal client. So anybody who's a branding designer listening to this and you don't know how to identify it yet, that has been the lifesaver, is finally realizing if they've worked with other people and they said it didn't go well and they have horrible things to say, probably is them.
Yeah, honestly, I also had an experience like that recently where I was like, no, but this is a perfect client. And, you know, they would go on and complain about the other three other designer. And it's like, I get why you're complaining. Like now that you explain it to me, of course it makes sense because I'm listening to only your side of the story. But, you know, of course it was not a good experience because it was not the right designer and it ended up not even being a good relationship to keep. So it's one of those things that you really need to understand. That's a red flag. You learn it, please move away. And that's also how we learn about boundaries and guidelines. Like you, unfortunately, you have to experience them.
Yeah.
After that. And then you can set your own rules and boundaries.
Yes. And I think the best investment I ever did was have a business mentor, because it was one of the first things we ever discussed was setting business boundaries and determining what works best. Because what might work for somebody else might not work for me. There are some people who don't get drained and can email till 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh my God.
While I'm like, no, I kind of need to have a life and I do need to cut off my emails at 5 p.m. because otherwise I'm just consumed by work. But again, everybody's so different. That's me. And I feel like I couldn't even provide a great branding experience or service to my clients if I did that because I'd be stretching myself too thin.
Oh my God, 100%. Like all these boundaries, this would really enable me to grow my business. And even, you know, all this little conversation that you have with yourself, like, do I really want to do it this way? Do I really want to do it this way? Or what do I really, really like? And yeah, we touched on that before, but like when you're in business for just a couple of years, you still really don't know who you are. And I'm so glad I never stopped asking myself this question, because otherwise right now I would not be here building an agency rather than keep on working as like solopreneur. So I think it's so, so important to set the boundaries. And now that I know, okay, the agency is the direction that I want to go. So my boundaries are so much different now and I love them. That's why maybe they were not working in the past.
I can agree with that, because a lot of times I realized that some of my clients were looking at me like a studio and other ones called me a freelancer. And I used to get bothered by it because I was like, I don't think you realize that I'm not just a freelancer. Like I'm running a business here and I have employees. So what you're referring to is kind of wrong. And the way they were treating me was differently. I was like, if you want like a free freelancer, like you might need to head to Upwork or Fiverr or like anything else versus even freelancer.com and not head to a business that you found on Instagram or Google. Because if something says studio or agency, that is not a freelancer.
Absolutely. Oh, I had this conversation so many times and mostly like with people outside of my business. So besides friends and family that are like, oh yeah, she's a freelancer. Like I am not a freelancer. stop it. But also with clients, yeah, sometimes you get people that they just expect you to deliver the work without any question. And this is just not how I want to run my business. So even, you know, all this client that only want the logo design without the strategy, I am not here just to deliver something that you want and call it a day. Like, my goal is to empower your business and give you more resources. So it's not just like a task that you need to do so that you're happy.
It's true. And if we didn't go through these things, we wouldn't be expanding our businesses or growing it. And that's why it's important for even ourselves or anybody to identify their ideal client. But I'd still like how you said that it's okay to go through the bad ones to learn who your ideal client is. Even if you're not a service-based business, even if you're a product-based business, like, I'm sure you get some consumers or some people purchasing your stuff and all they do is complain or make it a little difficult for you. And then you learn, okay, wait, I thought I was, you know, you might have been putting in on Instagram promos or your Google ads that you wanted to reach, let's just say, women 40 plus in the medical esthetician world. And then you realize, oh, wait, they're actually giving me a headache. Maybe I should actually switch it over. It's just like it happens in every industry and it's okay to like live and learn from it. But definitely in the moment, I can empathize because it sucks that you're going through it in the current moment. But it's funny also just to say that brand designers and experts go through the same literal thing where we just experience the same thing. And I love talking to other branding experts and designers because you genuinely start to realize, oh, I'm not alone in dealing with this. Like, we literally have all gone through the same thing. It's the best feeling ever.
I agree. Like, honestly, I love having conversation with other designer because you always see the other people's perspective, but the struggles and the challenges were just the same.
Just the same. It's crazy. I had such a fun time talking about branding with you and how brand strategy comes first that honestly, I probably could have had this episode go on into a whole other episode. But obviously, thank you so much for joining me. I wanted to ask you, what can everyone look out for? Do you have any projects and where can everybody find you online?
Yeah, my website and my Instagram is where I usually hang out most of the time. It's wileycreating.com and Instagram is at wileycreating. And right now, since we're switching into agency business model, I'm actually going to have a dual business, which I'm building right now as we speak. My agency is going to keep on working on brand design and website strategy. And my other side is going to be an educational platform. So I'm really working on bringing branding in a more accessible way to people that maybe they want to learn to do their own branding on their own, but without, you know, getting stuck into the DIY approach. So I'm preparing my actually new program that is called like the Wiley Creating Branding Retreat, where we're going to walk on all the stages that you need to go through to build, strategize, create, and design your personal brand. And it's going to be a 6-week program, which I'm super, super excited to start talking about it with everyone. And I know this is something that especially my audience really love because I always receive questions, but how do you do this? I want to learn more about color psychology. So I'm really excited to bring this project to life for, you know, entry-level entrepreneur and people that needed this when we both got started, basically.
It's definitely necessary. And that's such an amazing tool and resource. And I cannot wait to see when you launch that. It's so necessary for people to start to learn more about this, considering everybody is wanting to, not everybody, but a lot of people have realized through COVID that they want to start their own business versus work for somebody else. And because we just want to work on our own terms, we ended up realizing how comfortable it was to work from home. So why not do it for ourselves? So it's a really, really good course that you're offering.
Thank you so, so much. I really believe in the importance of branding also to find out who you are. Because when I was really digging deep into what branding is, I had to ask myself tough question. And those really helped me realize who I was. And I was able to connect with my identity, with my roots, and bring in more of who the real Sonia is that I also was not aware of. So, you know, it's also like a personal development tool that I think it's so powerful. Like, you build a business that it's true to yourself. It's fully aligned with your life values and brand values. And on top of that, you can make money. I mean, it's just the best.
That is so unique. I love your perspective on that. And that's going to be so beneficial for people, because sometimes you need to self-discover yourself before you even start a business. So what a great, great perspective you have in mindset on it. So you're just a born teacher, and I think you're going to do amazing things. Thank you so much, Sonia.
Thank you so much for this conversation. It was amazing.
Thank you for listening into this week's episode of Brewing Up Creativity. Have you been loving our recent episodes? It would mean a lot if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. If you're also wondering how you can join us on the podcast, reach out to us at info@brewingupcreativity.com or fill out an inquiry form, which can be found on Instagram @brewingupcreativity, where the link is in our bio.